Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiki K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We're sponsored by Mortgage Right. Mortgages done the right way. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Give us a call anytime with questions during or after the show. 704-999-6646. Got a really great show for you lined up on a beautiful weekend here. Let's get into some mortgage news and some market news here real quick. Earlier this month, the Urban Institute pointed out that the unprecedented low interest rates of the pandemic era have not benefited everyone. Their research showed that tightening credit access has meant that low-income homeowners and those with high loan-to-value ratios or low credit scores have largely been left out of the rush to refinance. The Federal Housing Finance Agency has now announced a new refinancing option to address the situation. FHA says it has directed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, of course, those are the semi-government agencies that purchase all conventional loans, to implement an initiative to encourage eligible low-income borrowers to refinance and lower both their interest rates and their monthly mortgage payments. They estimate that borrowers who take advantage of this opportunity could save between $100 and $250 a month. To qualify for these loans, which will become available this summer, a borrower must have a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac-backed mortgage on an owner-occupied one-unit single-family home and not miss a payment over the last 6 months or not more than one payment in the past year. The loan's loan-to-value ratio can go all the way up to 97%. And the borrower's income must be at or below 80% of the median income level for our area, which for most of our area is about $64,080 a year. They allow the debt ratios to go all the way up to 65%, so there's a huge grace period there. And the FICO, the credit scores, can go all the way down to 620, so really a big difference there. There's incentive-based pricing, so you do get discounted rates on that, which is, again, really, really a good piece of the deal. Also, what's really cool is on a lot of loans now, refinances, that you can get a property inspection waiver, which means you don't have to get an appraisal waiver. If, however, you do not qualify for a property appraisal waiver, the lender doing the refinance for you will actually pay the appraisal for you, and then it ends up getting refunded to the lender at the end. So free appraisal with this as well. And then there's a incentive based on the interest rate. Some of the fees that typically go with refinancing are getting waived from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The FHA FA director, Mark Calabria, says, quote, "Last year saw a spike in refinances, but more than 2 million low-income families did not take advantage of the record low mortgage rates by refinancing. This new refinance option is designed to help eligible borrowers who have not already refinanced save between $1,200 and $3,000 a year on their mortgage payment." So really good. So that program is coming out this summer. So definitely give us a call if you have questions about that, 704-999-6646. And speaking of mortgage interest rates, the Fed met earlier this week. They made the decision to keep the federal funds rate unchanged, which, you know, again, was largely expected. They also kept the Fed's bond buying program at current levels. Again, expected. However, nonetheless, investors were relieved to get confirmation. And so we did see some improvement in mortgage rates this past week. And so right now, the average 30-year fixed rate for a conventional home purchase is down to 3.14%, according to MortgageNewsDaily.com. And that is down from a 12-month or about an 18-month high from 3.43 just about 5 weeks ago. So good news on those two fronts, and that kicks us off for the news. And so, we got a great show lined up for you today. If you have questions during the show, give us a call. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, 704-999-6646. We have Karen Lloyd, the team lead, and Monica Sprinkle, the lead buyer's agent, both with the Karen Lloyd team at Keller Williams here with us in studio today. So really looking forward to the information that they're going to share with us. Karen has a very strong financial background and a long history of working in the real estate industry, as she has built and remodeled homes for over 25 years and also owns a foreclosure business where she buys, renovates, and sells foreclosures. Karen has been a licensed realtor for 8 years and is consistently a top agent in the whole region of the Carolinas, and somehow in her spare time also teaches a South Carolina real estate contract class, which I'm definitely interested in getting more information on. So Karen, Monica, thanks so much for joining us. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. You bet. So Karen, kind of give us a background, kind of your history in real estate, you know, very extensive and even as a licensed real estate agent, and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been in real estate for 8 years now, but throughout my entire, for over 25 years, we have, my husband and I built several homes in Rock Hill. We've renovated homes. And I also have a business partner, Kim Colbank with Distinctive Carolina Homes, that her and I buy foreclosures and we rehab them. So we have been doing this for over 8 years. We've been doing for about 15 years, and building homes for about 25 years. So we've built here locally, we've built on the coast, and so just love doing it. Was in banking prior to that, but my heart was always in real estate. So been very successful in it, and we have some, the Karen Lloyd team, we have some very easy, very simple goals that we try to achieve, and the main goal is to make our clients happy. The one thing that we are very firm in and is a big guideline for us is the client is the boss. We are here as consultants to guide the clients in how to price, what to do for their home, how the fix-up, whether they need inspections, and most of all, we are consultants on how they should price. So with that, I always tell my clients, you're the boss. I'm here to consult with you. But ultimately, you make the decision. You make the decision on pricing. You make the decision on how you fix your home. You make the decision on what repairs that you go ahead and do. And then ultimately, if we are no pressure. We do not, we are not high pressure, because our goal is to make our client happy. So that the last thing that we want at the closing table is someone to have buyer's remorse. And I can tell you, in 8 years, I've never had anyone come to the closing table and said, oh, why didn't you tell me this? Or why didn't you tell me that? Or I don't feel good about this. And one of the big things that I do with new home buyers is I tell them, and I tell everyone this, is the buyer is going to find the bells and whistles. They're going to go in. They're going to love the house. But one of the things that we do is we point out what we see as potential negatives, because the end game is they want to be able to make sure that they can sell the home. So while they're looking at all the pretty light fixtures and the nice granite countertops, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm walking around the house. Are there cracks in the foundation? Are there cracks underneath the window? Is it a crack in the mortar? Where's the crack? Open up the oven. How has that been taken care of? Look at the air vents. Are they clean? Are they dirty? What do the floors feel like? Do they feel like there are, bumps in the floors? Could there potentially be a problem with the foundation? Are there cracks in the ceiling? Do the doors close properly? So we are looking for all of the potential issues with the house. And then we do our competitive market analysis, and we talk to them about how many days the house has been on the market, what houses are selling, what the houses have sold for, and then ultimately they decide whether they're going to buy the house or not buy the house.
Excellent. So you've bought and sold, lots of properties over the past 25 years, built homes, remodeled, it is looking for the negatives, kind of something that you learned the hard way, is maybe, you know, buying a property and not, maybe not looking for the negatives, and that kind of hits you.
Oh, absolutely. And I have a funny story to tell.
Please.
So my daughter, Catherine Lloyd, she was in college at University of South Carolina. And my older daughter, Taylor Lloyd, had been there as well. And I was tired of paying the rent, paying apartment rent. It was so expensive. So being in the foreclosure business, I thought, well, I'm going to look for a foreclosure in Columbia. So there was a foreclosure, and my daughter actually went to look at it first. And I said, well, Catherine, go look at it. Catherine had her real estate license as well. She had gotten it when she was a sophomore in college. So she knew what she was looking for. So the agent took her in. And she said, oh, it's great. It looks good. You know, it's got a good feel, so you need to come and look at it. So I went, and one of the things that I wanted to make sure was that I personally, and this is a personal preference, I prefer hardy plank or brick siding. So, and vinyl siding is not a preference of mine. There's nothing wrong with vinyl siding. It's just not a preference of for my personal homes. Because I find it's more maintenance, and that's my personal experience. So I went to the home, and the first thing I did was touch. I actually touched the side of the home on the front door. Hardy plank. Great. So we go in, and the house had a great feel, but it was built in 1946. It needed 12 helical piers. It needed total gut rehab. It was a foreclosure. It was in pretty bad shape. But we liked the feel of the house, and I thought, you know, we can get this. So I bought it, and I went through the foreclosure process and bought it. And my husband had not seen it. So after it was closed and I bought it, I said, well, let's go see it. And so we drive to Columbia, and he drives up, and he said, I thought that you only would buy a hardy plank home. And I said, well, that's what I bought. He said, no, that's not what you bought. And I said, I said, what do you mean? He said, that siding right there is vinyl siding. That's not hardy plank. And I said, And I got out and I touched it, and sure enough, it was vinyl siding. So the lesson that I learned is you can't just touch one side of the house. There are some homes that have vinyl and hardy plank. So now one of the things I do is I go around and make sure that I understand what, and I actually touch the sides of the home. So yes, it was a lesson that I learned the hard way, but it all turned out fine.
Excellent. So, definitely a good lesson to learn. So now that you're working with buyers, you know, on a regular basis, and you're looking for those negative things, what kind of feedback do you get, you know, when you kind of point, when you do find something maybe negative that, you know, could maybe impact their level of happiness, you know, happiness being your number one goal for your clients. What does that process look like? Or does it hinder the sale? Does it just kind of open their eyes up a little bit to kind of be aware of certain things?
It can hinder the sale, absolutely. And with us, that's what we want to make sure that they know, because when you go to see a house for the first time and you're looking at all the pretty things, you'll go back again and again. And after the contract is signed and you go back for the inspection, the inspection period is the time when, if things are going to go south, is a good chance it's going to go during the inspection period. Things are going to be found, or they didn't see something that they decided they didn't like. So we try to, instead of taking the client down that agony, we try to find the negatives before they put the contract in. So that also helps us ensure or have a greater possibility that it's going to get all the way to the closing table. Because there's one thing to buy the house and to show them and get the contract signed and completed. It's another thing to take it all the way to the closing table and go through inspections. And that's the potential failure point is when inspections happen. So we don't find the things that an inspector will find, of course.
Sure.
But we can see enough visually that we can point out to the client the big things that we don't want him to sign the contract. And then later on, that is pretty blatant, because we don't want a client to say, well, why didn't you tell me this? Or you know, you should have known this. And we should have. We should know those types of things. And that's what we're so good at pointing out. Because that's what we're there for. That's why they're consulting with us. That's why we're getting paid. The commission is to represent them and their best interest. So can it hinder the sale? Absolutely. Can they back out? Absolutely. And so be it. And that's what needs to happen if the client isn't 100% satisfied. Had a situation a couple weeks ago. In this market, it's crazy because there are multiple bids being put on a house. And right. So, and now a lot of times you get 15 minutes to buy a house. And then they're calling for a high, the listing agent may be calling for highest and best that night. So if you've got 15 minutes, we have to be looking for those negatives. We have to be pointing them out. And I find that every single one of my clients depend on my opinion. And whether they're a first-time home buyer or if they've built, if they've bought and sold several homes, they are still relying on the opinion. And oftentimes I'll say, you know, I just don't see it in you. I don't see the excitement in you. I know you have this pressure of finding a house. However, we've got to balance that. You came to me to find you a home. You told me you wanted 1, 2, and 3, and this house has 1 and 3. It doesn't have number 2. How do you feel about that? So it's very much a consulting relationship with the client. So
yeah, and balancing those expectations with this particular market is certainly you need to have that consultant philosophy. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colbert. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. So I definitely want to talk about more about that particular piece of like impacting the sale and the kind of differences on maybe the consultants that are out there. But I definitely want to bring in Monica and kind of, you know, get a little bit about your background and kind of what you do with the Karen Lloyd team.
Yeah, I have a nursing background, but my dad was a builder, so I did grow up in seeing the homes from start to finish as well. So I felt like it was always something I wanted to do eventually. And when the kids got older, so I was able to actually go and take my real estate license. And I wanted to join Karen Lloyd because I saw she was very successful. She sold a few homes in our old neighborhood. And then she also sold our house and helped us find a new home in Fort Mill. So it felt natural to just go and join her team. And I think we've done pretty good so far. So
yeah, I find a lot of agents that I know, real estate agents I know, that kind of get their start that way. You know, maybe they've... They bought a home and they loved the experience, or they didn't love it and they thought they could bring more value to that. Yeah. And certainly, you know, starting out in the construction world, which, you know, both of you have experience starting out there, I think it's a really good foundation for really all things real estate to kind of really grasp, you know, start to finish, and the structure, the bone structure of a home, and the pricing, and which I know we're going to talk about too, is just a really good background to get into real estate for sure.
Yeah.
Monica
yeah,
does
definitely.
A great job. She has a very easy way with the client, and she's very comforting and very steady, and she does a great job.
Thank you.
So, and we are partners on the transaction. So when Monica does complete a contract, I review it before it goes to the other party to make sure that we have dotted all the I's and crossed the T's. And also we have some tools and some tricks of the trade on how to get a bid, win a bid during this time, because there are so many. I had a house. We showed it for 2 days. It was $275,000, and in 2 days we had 72 showings.
Incredible.
And so, we had 6 contracts and 72 showings. So in this market, you have to have a few tricks up your sleeve. which we do in order to try to win the bids.
Yeah, you have to be very creative these days, for sure.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about some of those things that you guys do from a creativity standpoint. I know you teach the contract for South Carolina, that class, and kind of want to get back to, you know, because something that has really been prevalent over the last, you know, year or so for me and for the mortgage world, and I know it is for your side too, the real estate side, is, you know, there are, unfortunately, you know, some people out there who just aren't that great at what they do. And without trying to, you know, bang on those people and just kind of, you know, show our level of experience. And, you know, I really, really hate it when, you know, someone gets pre-qualified or pre-approved and then I get a call from, you know, somebody, hey, this, you know, person was under contract. They're supposed to close next week. They just got denied. Personally, I hate those calls. I want our industry to be, you know, really good. But, you know, people are out there and don't exactly know everything that they're doing. You mentioned that, you know, kind of bringing out some of the negative items can impact a sale. What is the difference? You know, because I feel like in this market particularly, I mean, in general, but especially in this market, there are some, you know, realtors out there that aren't that consultant, that are really just, maybe they've only got one sale. And so that one sell means everything to them. Doesn't make them a bad person, just maybe doesn't make them the best consultant, right? Mm-hmm. What does that, do you guys run into that where you feel like you kind of need to help the client maybe stop, from making a bad decision versus somebody maybe out there maybe trying to push it? Does that make sense?
Right. So, I had this very situation last night where they had a realtor call me, and it was 5:00, and they were a North Carolina agent, and we, both Monica and I, have our North Carolina and South Carolina contracts, license, and this agent called me at 5:00, was a North Carolina agent, was licensed in South Carolina, had never written a South Carolina contract ever. And this wasn't for one of my listings. This was for a listing, someone else's listing. And in this market, it was for $275,000. And that's the sweet spot there. Anything under $300,000, right. I mean, it's going.
It's hard to get.
It's hard to get, and it's going. And this person never written a contract before and was going to, had asked me to walk her through it and write the contract for them. And unfortunately, I was going out to dinner, and so I couldn't help this person. And so I then said, well, you can refer it and get a referral fee and make sure it's done properly. And this agent said to me, no, I'd rather do it myself. And in situations like that, that's scary, because the contract is a contract. It is a solid contract, and you can get yourself in trouble if you do not know the ins and outs of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't guide the client appropriately.
I was going to say, you can get your client in trouble.
You can get your client in trouble. So, yes, it's out there. It actually happened last night. So I'm not sure what happened with this agent and whether she wrote it herself. But, yes, there are many things you can get. You can get sued. Mm-hmm. You know, that you could lose their earnest money for them. You know, do you do a due diligence? Do you do a repair request? Do you buy it as is? What do you do? What strategy are you going to use? So it's out there, the agents that are not quite sure of what they are doing. And it's it can be a very scary thing for the client as well as for the agent.
That's why, for me, being a new agent, I felt like it was important to join somebody that was successful and know what they're doing, you know, so I wouldn't get in trouble myself or my clients.
Right. You know? You're definitely in good hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely in great hands. So for sure.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We're here with Karen Lloyd and Monica Sprinkle with the Karen Lloyd team at Keller Williams. Karen, what would you say to, you know, the client who's, you know, looking to sell or buy, and, you know, they're talking with you or maybe another experienced agent, and then, you know, you hear the words, well, I've got a friend or a family member who's, you know, an agent, but, you know, they're part-time, they're not really doing anything. There's so many realtors out there right now, And obviously that 80-20 rule in everything it exists, right? You know, where 20% of the agents do 80% of the business. And, you know, what would you say to that client right now that maybe, you know, you're trying to earn their business? And
sure, absolutely. Well, the one thing is, and I don't discourage anyone from using someone else. What we do is we try to, well, we show what we can do based on the years of experience. We are with Keller Williams out of Ballantyne office, which is the largest in the United States. So once you go with us, you're on our intranet, and it goes to almost 700 agents immediately. I can't say enough for Keller Williams Ballantyne. It's a great team there. We have great support. We have great marketing tools. And the one thing, since I do teach the contract class for Ballantyne, when our great broker, Sabre Romeo, is not in place, which we all love Sabre, and that's another added tool for the client, is to have a broker as strong as Sabre is behind us. When you get into a situation, you need a broker immediately, Sabre is always there for you. So a shout out for Sabre Romeo and Ballantyne. But so we have that big support team. I know the contract inside and out because I teach the contract. And that is, when you get into negotiations and explaining the contract to the client, you have to show that, you have to explain to them what can go wrong and ways to mitigate that. So our marketing is, we market on the internet. We market the same way that a large production home real estate agency markets. And the big, big thing that we are successful with, excuse me, is that when you come with the Karen Loy team, you get, you're not passed from person to person to person to person. In other words, when you work with me, I am with you throughout the whole transaction. We pick up our phone. Try calling us at any time. We pick up the phone.
I'll call you tonight.
Come. I'll pick up the phone. And that's a big plus, because when a client has a question, they don't want to have to wait for a call back, or they don't want to have to go through this person to get to the next person to get to the next person.
100%.
They want to have the answer, and that is our big success. I like to say we make a good living by answering our telephone, and we do.
Yeah.
So by knowing that contract, the customer service truly is there. And I feel that with our team, and we are a small team, but you get that boutique customer service. You're not passed on.
And it sounds so simple, but it is the reality. I mean, just picking up your phone and having great communication and explaining things, what you do with the contracts and going through that, you know, line by line, really does add to that, you know, your number one goal of, you know, making your clients, you know, happiness your priority. What are some of the things that you go through in the contract that, you know, maybe surprises some buyers or sellers out there that maybe they weren't sure about, or they just don't understand when they're making on the beginning side of a real estate transaction, that you kind of have to really walk through them?
One of the biggest things is closing cost. And that's where a close relationship with you goes hand in hand, because oftentimes, especially first-time home buyers, don't realize they'll see $300,000, but it's really going to be $307,000 after closing cost.
Right.
And that's the real big, oh, okay. Then it's so important to have a good loan officer that explains all the closing costs, because there are closing costs from title insurance to mortgage insurance, and then there are inspection costs. Now, inspection costs is inspection on the house. Does the house have a septic and well? Well, that's going to be two more inspections. You got to have, if it's a well, you have to have the water inspected. That's another inspection. Are you going to do radon? And I can tell you that with radon, I'm seeing it more and more. Mm-hmm. It's out there. I used to see it mainly around the lake area, but now I'm seeing it more and more with basement homes, even new construction basement homes.
Right.
And you would think that a new construction home wouldn't have radon, and they do.
Yeah, you know, radon is certainly an interesting, gas, mm-hmm. You could have two new construction houses right next to each other, and for some reason the soil under one house, mixed with the concrete can produce, high levels of radon, whereas the neighbor's house, none. So, it's probably one of those things that, should be getting tested for sure, because you just don't know.
Sure, absolutely. I had a situation where new build, and I was riding around the neighborhood, and I saw the radon remediation in several homes. And the neighborhood, so I called the builder, and I said, do you have a radon issue here in this neighborhood? And they said, well, we have had several homes. The new home agent did not disclose that to me and didn't say, you should check for radon because several of the homes here. But fortunately, because I know what a radon remediation system looks like, I saw it. And so I told the buyers, I said, we need to have this checked for radon. Sure enough, it was had radon. And fortunately, this builder, when we found it, they paid for the $1,500 radon remediation system. Now, there are new divisions now going up that have a clause. They will not pay for it. It is your responsibility to find it, and it's your responsibility to pay for it. So that's a new build situation.
Yeah.
Where now new build is completely different from existing homes. So I always encourage people that are going to new builds to always take a buyer's agent with you. You do not pay for the buyer's agent commission. And that also is another thing that some buyers do not realize.
Right.
That they don't pay the sales commission to a buyer's agent.
So, yeah, and they've got this false this misconception too that if they don't have an agent, they're going to get a lower price.
And it's not.
But I'm sure you've got all the stats out there, that shows you're right. That's not true.
That's not true. Now I have mostly new home builders would like for you to bring an agent. Now there are some that don't. I've run into that before, but most of them do because it protects them. It protects the buyer as well. So, and I just recently had a situation. A client came from Boston, and in the 11th hour, he was panicking. He was a buyer. He was buying land, and he panicked, and because he thought his closing costs included commission, because up in Boston it did.
Wow.
It could go either way. Mm-hmm. And so he called me, and he was in such a panic, and I couldn't figure out why he was panicking. And so I thought, well, we need to peel back the layers here to figure out what is wrong, because I could hear the panic in his voice. So we started talking. I said, let's go through these closing costs. And so we did, and he said, well, you've left out your commission. And I said, no, you don't pay for my commission. The seller does. And he was like, oh, no. He said, I had no idea. He said, in Boston, he said, I had to pay it. Before, so I just assumed
it. Well, that'd have been like Christmas morning to him, not have to.
It was, you couldn't believe the change. It was like, oh my gosh, thank God.
Yeah.
So people coming in from other states, mm-hmm. Each state's contract is completely different.
Right.
North Carolina is completely different than South Carolina. They mm-hmm. have nothing in common. So you can have a beginner, a first-time home buyer, or a seasoned one coming from out of state. They don't know your contract, so they're assuming that it's based on where they came from, and it's not. So you can have many things in a contract that are new to a client.
Yeah, and with us being right, they're on the border of North and South Carolina. There are some agents who are licensed in both. Okay. I know you both are licensed in both, but then there's some who are licensed in both, but really don't do any business in the opposite state. And so you had the firsthand example, and so it being so close, I guess, does create a little bit of an issue there because you may kind of need to go into South Carolina if you're a North Carolina agent, and with the contracts being so very different, it can certainly create some issues.
Right. And the Karen Lloyd team, which you can reach us at 803-371-2203. We also do commercial as well. We just closed a commercial on a commercial property in Charlotte yesterday. So we had a buyer from Atlanta. And we have clients that came in to buy in Charlotte. So that was so we closed that one yesterday. And so there are many things on a contract that even seasoned people who have bought and sold before, because the contract is always changing. At 1st of May, there are three new changes on, there are new changes on three documents. So constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, I'm glad you brought up, you know, the commercial side too, that you, number one, that you do commercial real estate, but also that you've had, you know, a buyer from, you know, Atlanta, you know, buying commercial space in Charlotte. And I won't pry to the individual or the type of business, but it does kind of get me to, you know, the next phase. I really want to talk about your outlook on the greater Charlotte market. You know, I certainly feel like that we're very attractive to businesses. Is that something that you're kind of seeing on the commercial side? Do you see, you know, the Charlotte area, you know, really growing from where it is now, bringing in, attracting a lot of businesses?
Absolutely. With the interest rates being as low as what they are right now, these clients were into their main business was a staffing service. They had one in Atlanta and one in Charlotte, but they were also buying strip centers. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as they closed that one, they were ready to move on to the next one. And so the challenge is finding a strip center. So if there's anyone out there on the commercial side that has a strip center they would like to sell, please call me, Karen Lloyd, 803-371-2203. But yes, and we have, it's not only Charlotte, but the Rock Hill area with the Panthers and all of our sports centers. Rock Hill is doing a tremendous job in planning and with all our sports activities, with the bicycle velodrome. All of it is just added to Rock Hill. So we see a tremendous growth continuing in this area. And the restaurants are coming. And so it's just it's a great community. York County in a whole is just a great community. We have a lot to offer. Close to the beach, close to the mountains. Mm-hmm. So it's a great area. So, yes, I see it continuing to grow.
Excellent. Well, that goes right along with my thought process for sure. I mean, you know, you mentioned, you know, the beach and mountains, you know, within a couple hours here. And certainly from a business standpoint, I feel like we've got some pretty good leaders across the board that really are driving, you know, businesses moving in town. You mentioned, you know, the Panthers moving down to Rock Hill. Not that they weren't in Charlotte already, but certainly a huge investment down here. And if you haven't and you had a chance to drive by the new facility, definitely just drive by it. It's pretty pretty impressive. They've broken ground. And then, you know, that the surrounding area, you know, I can only imagine is going to see some really, really good development. You mentioned restaurants that are, you know, coming down to Rock Hill. And Rock Hill is really, really, really on the cusp of some really great development. David Tepper's leading a lot of that for sure. And there's talks with other companies too right now that that could, you know, further grow the Rock Hill, York County area, and which is certainly exciting and certainly makes it, you know, a great thing for our industries.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So obviously, you know, I hear, you know, from some people, you know, that they're just, and certainly with your background and working with foreclosures and things like that, that, you know, people are just hanging out on the sidelines, you know, waiting for the market to, you know, to fall over like it did in 2008 and 2009. I'm assuming you don't agree with that.
We don't anticipate that,
right?
Because the components that were there for that fallout have. I truly believe the financial industry has lived and learned from that, so I don't personally think that's going to happen again. Now, I could always be wrong, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, certainly the market fundamentals are completely different.
Different market, absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colberg. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We're here with Karen Lloyd and Monica Sprinkle with the Karen Lloyd team at Keller Williams. So Karen, you know, talk to more about the pricing strategies that you have. You know, I know you teach the contract class. Do you share any pricing strategies with that class, or you kind of bring that to your team? I know you got some really creative things that you as a team have worked on. Do you kind of keep that private, or you keep that public, or what can you share with us about that?
We'll talk about pricing strategies.
Excellent.
Pricing a home is part art, part science, and that's what I tell all of my clients that are listing. The one thing that there are some mistakes that should absolutely be avoided. And I think the biggest mistake that sellers make when they're pricing their home is not what's sold, but what they want for it.
Right.
And I had a situation the other day, and the seller said, "But I want $2,000 more." But $2,000 more the market doesn't support that $2,000. So you have to look at what has sold, not what's active. You can absolutely, and you should absolutely, look at what's active to see what your competition is. You look at how long it's been on the market. Why hasn't it sold? But your sold homes, and that's a sweet spot. Now, there's always going to be this outlier there. There are always going to be outliers where a house sold, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 over what the other one sold for. And that's always going to happen. I hear up in Charlotte now that, you know, houses are going for $50,000, $75,000. And the clients are coming in from New York, or they're coming in from Los Angeles or San Francisco, and they say, "But you don't understand. We don't care what sold. We have this money we made off this house. We're coming here. We don't care what the market it shows. We want that house. We're willing to do it." You're always going to have that.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you price your house on what is sold, and you'll sell it for around what is sold. Again, this market is a little strange because things are going higher than what normally they can go higher than what the solds have sold for. But that's also the law of supply and demand.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if the supply is not there, but the demand is there, they're going to sell higher. But in a typical market, you will base it on what the homes have sold for. And you absolutely do look at what's active to see what's not selling. The one thing also, homeowners tend to overvalue things just because they own them.
Right. They're emotionally attached.
And well, it's called, psychologists do have a term for it, and okay, it's called the endowment effect. Mm-hmm. I own it. It's mine. I love it. It's got the prettiest kitchen ever. And so I think I need to get $20,000 more for mine because mine is prettier than Monica's down the street. Monica does not have pretty color in her house. I'm just joking. Of course, our home is beautiful.
Everybody's like that. Everybody think they can get more for their home.
And then the challenge is talking to the seller. This torn vinyl is not the same as hardwood floors. Oh, but, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. So that's the biggest challenge. The other thing is improvements. Homes typically do not decrease in value. They increase in value. But that's not the same for the things you put in a home, improvements. And typically, according to the remodeling magazine, remodeling projects typically earn back 60% to 70% of what they cost, typically. In a good market, house values go up, but the stuff in them doesn't go up.
Right.
And so that's another thing that people want 100% out of the kitchen remodel that they did. And oftentimes it's maintenance, and people will get maintenance and improvements confused. And you know, they've got a 20-year-old air conditioning unit and they put in a new one 5 years ago. Well, they want the $15,000 that they put in 5 years ago. Well, that air conditioning value has decreased. That was maintenance.
Right.
And so you'll get, that's a great selling point that the air condition is newer, but you're not going to get the money back from that investment from 5 years ago, typically.
Yeah, so certainly the market shifts as far as, like, you know, what buyers and sellers kind of maybe need to be doing to buy and sell real estate. And obviously, Karen and Amaki, y'all do a great job on, you know, staying up to date and giving your clients the best information. Where does it stand right now? Like, is it a good thing? Obviously, we're in a very low inventory market, so houses tend to do sell very quickly. There's lots of buyers out there for them. Is it a wise thing right now to maybe, hey, I want to sell my house. Should I invest in some upgrades, or should I, you know, do X, Y, Z before I list it, or should I just get it listed?
And that depends on the home.
Yeah.
So there are some homes where the entire inside needs updating. So I've seen people say, okay, should I replace the carpet? But then the next room, the tile has fallen off the walls. So in situations like that, I personally do not advise them to fix it up. Mm-hmm. Sell it as is. Because if you fix the carpet, but then you go into the bathroom and the tile is falling off the walls, that's, you're trying to put lipstick on a pig. So my recommendation is not to do that. Sell it as is. Let's price it correctly. And you also take the chance if you put in new carpet, the buyer doesn't like that carpet. So sure. Therefore, you didn't add value to that home, to that buyer's eye. And it's all the value that the buyer sees. So it all depends on the house. If they have one bathroom, the whole entire house has been renovated, and then you have that one bathroom that hasn't been renovated, well, let's talk about the price. And then it all depends on how much they can get the house for. In this market, I'd probably say, no, don't do it.
Right.
And so there are so many different items that it depends on. Like I said, it depends on the home.
Yeah. So when you're doing that, when you're meeting with a seller, are you kind of going through, the home and kind of pointing out some of those things and, you know, consulting on that side? I know we talked a lot about the buyer's side. Are you kind of doing the same thing with the sellers?
Oh, absolutely. We go through the entire house and consult with them. And we provide options because you've also got to think through the seller's circumstance. It might be a situation when they're about to go into foreclosure. Mm-hmm. So it's a consulting situation. And the one thing that I have stressed to all my buyers and my sellers is you have to have trust in me. You have to be able to feel comfortable in talking with us about your situation. And we don't tell people what to do. We recommend and we explain why we recommend what we do recommend. I was talking a little earlier in our conversation about a buyer and why I consulted with them not to buy the home. Well, I walked in the home and I smelt heavy smoke and I smelt cat urine. Mm. Well, you have 15 minutes and they loved the house and thought they wanted to write a contract on it. And I said, whoa, wait, let's talk about this. There are paints out there that you can get smoke smell out with, but is it in the carpet? Are you going to have to replace the carpet? Are you in the cat urine? Again, cat urine can go all the way down to the subfloor.
Yeah.
And if that happens, you're ripping out subfloor. And they were like, what? I said, the smell. And so in that situation, they looked at me and they said, would you buy the home? I said, no, I would not buy the home. Personally, I would not buy the home. Now, if you ask me that question, I am going to tell you 100% whether I am going to buy that home or not. And with us, it's not about getting that commission check. It is truly about the seller selling and the buyer getting the right house for them. So I have multiple times taught people out of buying a home because I truly think that they will not like it in the end.
Yeah.
Or if there's not an extra strategy, or if I think that they can't resell it, I will tell them all this. And then ultimately they decide. But I feel confident and I feel good at night when I put my head on the pillow that I've done the right thing for the client.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6640. 4-6. If I had walked into that house, the only way I could buy it is if I was able to burn it down. Because smoke, like cigarette smoke and cat urine, I'm good. No thanks.
But actually, you know, and they didn't like it either, but they wanted a house. They needed a house. And
right.
They, in 15 minutes, we're going to buy the house. And that's where our job is to say, wait.
Yeah, the pressure's on. You know, you need that, consultant for sure, though.
You've got to have someone to say, wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Let's talk about this. Wait. And they're like, what do you mean? No. Let's go through each point here and let's talk about it. And you have to make sure that you understand these things.
Yeah. So in this market, again, low inventory, more buyers than sellers right now. A seller may be thinking, hey, I'm just going to list it myself. And you know, to bring in the contract piece to that, you know, what is a seller risking by trying to go it alone? I think every stat shows that they're not going to make as much money as they think they will. They make more with an agent. But also, what are maybe some of the pitfalls that they could really get themselves into trouble with by not having an expert real estate agent like yourself in trying to list a home for sale?
Well, the main thing, and oftentimes that we see with people trying to sell their own homes, is the buyer is like looking for a Rolex in a yard sale.
Right.
They're looking for, we want the best deal. You know, you're not having to pay commission. Therefore, we want you to cut your price. And so the negotiating strategies of pricing is, even on my own things, I find very hard to negotiate for myself. So it's much easier for a real estate agent to negotiate and have negotiating strategies when going into a contract situation. Oftentimes, buyer and seller, it is yours. So it's emotional. Emotions can get involved and play to where the transaction goes south, because there's just too much heightened feelings involved. The other thing is that we also can negotiate from the standpoint of knowing the market on what is sold. That's a big advantage. In this market, I'm not saying that people can't be successful in selling their own home. They can be, and in certain areas in York County, they can be very successful because the inventory, again, is low and people want to buy. So there are success stories out there. But in the typical market, the real estate agent can earn their commission and more money because oftentimes the seller doesn't know what to price the home at, and they don't price it. Then the other big part is during inspections. They've got a contract, but does the homeowner truly know what they have to repair? I mean, I often find with real estate agents don't know exactly, according to the contract, what the non-seller paid repairs are. That if you're in a repair procedure inspection on the contract, if you've checked that on the contract, what does the seller truly have to fix? Oftentimes we'll see that the buyer's agent will write on there, see inspection report, and the inspection report will say, have an engineer inspect. Well, who pays for that? The seller or the buyer? Well, the buyer's agent is trying to get the seller to do it. But according to the contract, it is the buyer's right and privilege to have inspections. It's not the seller's responsibility. So if this buyers say, have the seller inspect it, no. That's your responsibility. That is not the seller's responsibility. So it gets down to the inspections, and then that's when things can go south too, because the seller doesn't know what they're truly responsible for, and the buyer doesn't either.
Excellent. So y'all have a marketing plan for success when listing homes. What are the top three goals that you guys have when listing a home, and kind of how do you go about accomplishing those?
Well, the number one thing for on the seller side, there are different goals for the seller and different goals for the buyer, is selling the house for the most that they can get out of it. Mm-hmm. That's number one, two, and three. It is providing the client service to get the home sold for the highest price and to consult with them all along the way, that there are, and we get the contract to the closing table. I think we've talked about how we get there is through Client Support, education, consulting, and knowing the market. On the buyer side, it's getting the home that they want. And in this market, it is basically for the price they can get it at.
Right.
So we do have tricks on they're not tricks, but they're techniques, I should say. They're not tricks. They're techniques on that we use in order to be the winning bid. And there are several of them. I'm sorry, those are trade secrets.
Yeah.
Can't let those go.
And certainly that comes from, you know, experience, professionalism, expertise. Mm-hmm. And you keep those secretive for those reasons because, you know, you're working with clients, you're competing in the marketplace. And again, you know, I can't recommend, you know, using an experienced professional, you know, agent when you're buying or selling like Karen Lloyd, like Monica Sprinkle with the Karen Lloyd team. And so one last time, Karen, how can our listeners get a hold of you if they're in the market to buy or sell right now?
Great. Thank you. You can reach Monica or myself at 803-371-2203 or
My cell phone 704-906-8321.
Excellent. Well, really, really great information. I really appreciate both of you joining us today. Any parting thoughts, anything we didn't cover that you want to highlight real quick? We covered a lot for sure.
I think that the biggest thing is our goal is to make the client happy. And our commitment is it's your property, but it's our priority. And we are going to look out for the client. And do the best thing for the client, and we're not there just to earn a commission check. We're there to walk the client through the transaction from beginning to end, and make sure that they're a happy client when they're at the closing table. Also, my email address is karenlloyd123@gmail.com. That's karenlloyd123@gmail.com.
Or monica@karenlloydteam.com.
Excellent. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us. Really great information. And, you know, again, when you make your client's happiness the number one priority, everything else really does fall into place. If you execute on that, you're going to have a great career and a great business and satisfied clients. And obviously, we're in the referral-based business, and that's really what it's all about, you know, keeping the client's interest number one. And so you guys do that fantastically well. So thanks so much for doing that. And thanks for joining us. And we appreciate everyone listening this weekend. And we hope you have a great week. And we will catch you back here next Saturday. All the best.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiga K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.